Welcome to Marketing Wins, How Real Brands Move Forward. I'm Valerie Morris, and on each episode, we dive into real topics with real people about how they're getting their next little or big win in marketing. If you're new to the show, go ahead and hit subscribe on whatever podcast player you are listening to right now. That way, you will not miss a single episode of Marketing Wins. Hey there, thanks so much for jumping in today to today's episode with my dear friend Dale Wilshire. And I'm really excited to have her join us today. She's got a wealth of wisdom that she has learned over the years, and she's just doing some really cool stuff, especially with leaders, especially women. She works with a lot of women, and you know, just when I soak in some of her content, I just see myself in so much of what she is putting out in the world. And so I just know she's making a huge difference from hearing her stories and seeing her content. So Dale, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, Valerie, thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you tell people a little bit about how you're showing up in the world, how you're helping people online, because you've got a lot of plates spinning. I know you as the public speaker, you've got your coaching, you've got a membership, like you've got a lot of different things that you've built out. And then you also have a lot of free resources as well. So kind of talk about like who you help and what you offer to them.
Yeah, I say, you know, I help like, one of the things I do as a coach, and where I started in this business, I had been speaking for 17 years, but I started in the faith-based world, which meant it was not sustainable. I made Starbucks cards and potpourri. So no one, like Xcel Energy does not accept Starbucks cards for payments. So over a period of time, I'm like, I'm going to have to figure out how to monetize this in a way.
Right.
A living. But so in 2013, when I became a coach, got all my credentials after doing a lot of work to figure it out, I went through a huge career pivot, which is what I help people do as part of coaching. But that's when I started adding that part of my business, which is the bread and butter of my business. But speaking has maintained itself. So now I speak to a different audience, but I love to do that. And so I help people get their authentic personality, or in some cases, your authentic brand, to really help who they are. And it started with personality, because nobody kind of in my young world loved my personality. I have a very, you know, dominant, direct, decisive on the disc. I'm known as the D. And, you know, we don't love our women to be Ds. we like men to be strong and powerful. It's not as in some circles acceptable or welcome to be that. So I didn't like who I was for a long time. So that started my passion into personality work, which I had been speaking about, but then as a coach, I got to use it. So I really help people make the most of their time and their talents. So I do, as a coach, I have done a variety of things because I've done this for more than a decade, starting out as a life coach. So a lot of time management work, a lot of the branding work, because if you're going to make a career pivot or figure out what kind of work is ideal for you or your leadership style, you need to know who you are. And that includes some boundary work, some limiting beliefs. So again, primarily as a coach, I work mostly with women, although I do have some male clients. And that's, I speak probably 40% to women's groups and then 60% to mixed groups, and talking about the same topics, the power of purpose, how to create confidence, some boundaries work, and how to keep the urgent from hijacking what's important. So it's kind of similar things.
Yeah. Wow. So what were some of the like roadblocks or limiting beliefs, challenges, however you want to phrase it, when you went to go make that kind of pivot for your own career? What did you have to, did you have to change a lot internally for it to show up externally? Like, talk a little bit about what was going on inside you as you're making these brand changes.
Oh, I was a hot mess. So I'd say there's kind of two pivots. There was a pivot from being a stay-at-home mom. I have four daughters. I became a single mom and took on full custody of all four of the girls. So I had to pivot from, you know, have just, again, that speaking hobby, we'll call it a hobby, into what am I going to do to make a serious living to take care of everybody? And then I did it again when I pivoted from faith-based, which had built a career like a coaching business on, but needed to pivot into business and wanted to. I am much more enterprising. I still end up working with a lot of people of faith who are either business owners or they are corporate and kind of fall into my brand space. What was the question again, Valerie?
The mindset, like, was there a lot internally that you had to shift?
Yeah, I think that's the rudder, right? I mean, you can kind of turn yourself, but if the mindset doesn't go with it, you self-sabotage. Probably the biggest mindset issue I had initially was I didn't really know who I was. Having been a mom for a number of years, I just always say there's something about motherhood that just sucks the identity right out of you. So having been all things to all people, including mom and dad for a long time, I really, and then not really liking who I was initially, kind of reflecting the environments that I lived in, I thought, you know, I don't even know who I am. I don't know what I'm good at. I know what I'm bad at. I, in my own mindset, know what I'm bad at. And I've heard it from plenty of people. So I think really seeing myself through a lens of positivity, getting clear on the strengths that are going to help lead me and are a blessing to other people, and knowing what my core values were. And that was a big mindset shift, is seeing who I was as a blessing and not a curse, because that's kind of what I got from other people, is that this is what's wrong with me. So that was the biggest part of that. And then I think always imposter syndrome is a part of everything. You know, you get on a stage, and when I went from faith-based to business, I thought, are these concepts and topics going to transfer? Is it going to be something that, you know, people will need in their careers or just in their lives as professionals? And, you know, at this point, and as a coach, I learned how to do a lot of mindset work. In fact, it's probably the thing that really allowed me to start rising, is to start seeing how I was in charge of the way I thought about things. So to be able to realize that every time I step out of my comfort zone, I'm growing. And if I don't experience imposter syndrome, then I'm just stuck and stagnant. And that kind of thought process has really helped me along the way as I attempt all kinds of new things and try different products and, you know, go into new industries for speaking. So it's, you know, I'm a big person who believes in courage. It's one of my highest values. So to me, courage starts and confidence builds. And so just thinking about that as a positive thing, that's a mindset.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I love that little phrase of, you know, courage starts, confidence builds. That's great. I love that.
Yeah.
So as you're, you know, you've got the internal, how about on the external? Like, were there a lot of things that you felt like you had to kind of refigure out about the brand to convey it well? Like, what were your first steps when you went to go kind of do this rebrand of your personal brand, essentially?
Yeah, I do think, you know, as a business owner, having to create a website, that is, that is some of the most difficult and yet important work that you can do. It probably started, you know, after a few years in my personal life when I needed to put myself out there and do some online dating, which is basically a personal brand, right? I have to write a personal brand. And that's when I'm like, who am I? And what am I? And then I say, and I see this all the time in personality, it's hard to read the label from inside the jar. You know, that's why we need some people outside of ourselves. So I think that's kind of what I did, is I would check in with other people who had either been my clients early on, or, you know, I had kind of mentored them when I was moving into coaching. So I did it informally. And I would ask them basically, like, what strengths have you benefited from that I brought? I mean, that's part of my brand. You know, again, that's people telling me some things that maybe I just am so familiar with that I overlook or undervalue. So I think using other people to help me do that, and then writing the website, you have to write, I mean, that's, you know, when you're writing an about section, and I didn't even love social media. So this started kind of in the earlier days of things. So doing the website may be what some people do for social media, but for me, that was the piece of figuring out what type of coaching, because as a coach and as a speaker, it's similar. I mean, I can't coach the whole world. And, you know, but in the beginning, you're like, well, I'll take any business I can get. I'll coach anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, that's not really a brand to say you coach anybody. So that's when, you know, to me, that's the courage part. Like, it takes a lot of courage to say, I'm not going to do something, or I'm going to target, you know, in this case, it was women. And my website, because I still speak to 40% mixed groups, it couldn't completely be women, but most of the images are. So I had to figure out and, you know, how to balance, you know, where my primary work comes from and without keeping everyone out. So it's just, to me, it takes a lot of courage to put yourself out there and think I could be losing people along the way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That fear of kind of letting go of other stuff. I mean, that's a real thing that a lot of people have. So, yes. But you know, it is getting very clear on who you are talking to. And glad you mentioned the website copy, because, and just website design of, you know, what graphics you're using and all that, because I think a lot of people, some people overanalyze that to death. Yeah, and then some people don't think about it enough.
Yes. It's true.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people haven't, you know, there's so many flashy, sexy things right now. There's TikTok, there's, you know, shorts, there's, you know, video content. There's so many other things that people are kind of talking about as kind of, you know, AI, this, that, and the other, like, but the website content still is so important. And I don't hear people kind of leaning into that as much, but that's your place where, like, you're selling your brand 24/7. It's up there while you're sleeping. And it's still very relevant. Like, people are still going to go there as the home base to get as much from you as they can before they reach out. And so to make sure that that is selling you well while you're sleeping is so important. But also, you know, you put that thought into it, but the fact is it's always changing. And I know just from like some of the stuff that we worked on together that, you know, your site is getting adjustments on a regular basis. You know, because you'll see stuff and it's like, oh, well, this is a minor, tweak that we need to make. And that's natural. Like, you should be making just minor tweaks and minor adjustments along the way. It doesn't need to be something where it's like, this has to be 100% perfect before it goes live. It needs to be excellent, but it doesn't need to be statically perfect. It should be adjusting and evolving with you.
I could not agree with you more. I think on the over analysis, like I just recently gave a talk to a group of coaches. I'm an ICF certified coach, so I talked to one of those groups here locally, and then to help them use speaking, because for me, speaking has been one of my greatest sources of marketing. And so I wanted to share with them how to do that. And we were creating an abstract, which is something you need as a speaker. And you know, and watching them just recently be like, well, that's not exactly right. And I don't exactly have the right title. And I was like, oh my gosh, I've experienced all that, you know, that you feel like it's not quite there. And I'm still changing abstracts as I go. I'll retitle something over and over again. You know, it's kind of similar content and the customized. And so to think that, you know, usually if someone, and your brand is a vibe to an extent, you know, you do all this different work and there is a feel to it. There is a voice to it. And so at some point, the nitty gritty is not going to change the vibe. And so if I waited until that thing, the abstract, and that's what I encourage them to do, I'm like, let's get it out there. And certainly you can sit in front of some other people and think, you know, what do you think of this? You know, would you make any tweaks? But everything is evolving and growing. I think that's a big part of it. And that's where the courage comes into play. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we can't screw up that bad just by trying. So I'd rather get out there and knock around like bumper cars. And that's a little bit more in my personality line than to not do it. Because to me, the worst thing I could do is not try, to live with regret and know that there's some things on the table that I have not used. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I was at an event on Friday and they were talking about like the most valuable thing it was the most expensive thing that there is in the world. And it was lost opportunities or missed opportunities. And so like, you know, your concept there of like living with regret, like you don't want to leave anything on the table, you know, like go for it. Worst case scenario, it doesn't work out and you move to something else. So, yeah, no, it's such a great reminder. So, okay. So are there things that you do that are like outside of, you know, your website, your email, social media, like any of like some of the standard digital marketing, are there any things that you do that like you feel like, okay, well, I always wear this color when I speak, or, you know, I always like to have this background, or, you know, like I say this one phrase, like, are there any things like that that you've done to kind of build out your personal brand that are maybe a little bit outside of the box when it comes to marketing, but it's still part of how you present yourself?
Yeah, I think a couple of things just based on what you shared. I mean, there is that color piece, you know, several years ago, we chose a color. I actually had a logo done and had it, you know, not just branded. I had it trademarked, which is, you know, there it goes, $10,000 right there. I mean, people are like, I've got a trademark. I'm like, no, you don't. Because I couldn't change the color on anything, but all the stuff around it, all the things around it we did. So I found that I love teal. I love blue. It's a color of truth, and I'm all about authenticity. And I love green because it's about life, and I love growth. Personal development is a lot of what I do. So together, that's teal. So I started buying a lot of clothes in that color for when I'm on stage. And then certainly when I would do a photo shoot, I would try to be in those colors. And then it just kind of became fun to try to find some things. And I have some special shoes I wear on stage. So there's that. And then that became part of, you know, the website in pieces. And nowadays you can just use AI. You can throw in, like, I'll have all these clients throw in your personality strengths, your values, your purpose, all these things you know about who you are, which it's going to apply to work and at home, and say, give me some brand colors for what this, you know, is. And it's pretty amazing how it will kind of classify you in a way that felt intuitive. You're like, wow, I can't believe it did that. So the color thing, and then the phrases, when I speak, especially, but I've also seen this with some of my more talkative clients who are coaches, they will say, I love it when you say this. And I will make note of that, because I'm like, okay, that's a catchphrase that I need to pay attention to. And then, you know, if I don't write it down, which sometimes I have, and then it's just kind of like lost into the next time somebody reminds me. But on when I speak, and it was some great advice I was given, that when people say, wow, you know, you did a great job, or I really like that, always ask them, what about that was great for you? Because what they're telling you next is basically your brand. So when they used phrases that were specific to a talk, then I knew that those were ones that they hit a nerve, they spoke some kind of insight. So those became kind of key pieces that they'd end up on a slide and then get highlighted.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. Just taking note of things is important. Because a lot of times you sit down to work on your brand, your marketing, and you just are like, okay, I got to conjure this all up. But if you're collecting it as you go and saving it in, like, you know, whether it's you're emailing yourself or you have a more sophisticated system, I think that it's so important just to just take note.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and let other people tell you. They say, you know, in the study of the self, it's easier to understand what your values are, but I still, in working with people, find most of them don't have them articulated. They'll know it when they bump into it, or they'll know when they're dishonored. But personality is very challenging to identify, and your brand is kind of your personality. So it's they say some of the best ways of identifying that are to have people around you speak it to you. But you got to be careful. You know, there's some knuckleheads out there that are not going to speak positive. So don't let them have the opportunity. But, you know, I think letting that speak, and the more you hear the positive, then I think you can kind of get sassy about, and therefore that's why I don't like this group. Like, for example, one of the things in speaking is you're really supposed to have a few lanes of industries that you work in, or people with specific issues. And that way you can go deep and create more expertise. And as I was trying to identify a new lane, I thought, well, I think I really like startups. We have a lot of them here, you know, in my area. So I started going to all these meetings, these pitch meetings, and did a ton of informational interviews. And I spoke at Denver Startup Week. And then at the end of that, I was like, I don't like these folks. I don't.
They're not my people.
They're not my people. And I, you know, and so I think that piece of being able to say that and, yeah. and then say, so now I'm going to turn. Like, that's part of the courage. Like, get a little sassy. Who don't you like? Like, eliminate that. Because then that usually means the opposite of that, whatever kind of factors played in. Think about the opposite of that. What are the antonyms of whatever those words are? Those are usually the right. people that you were made for.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah. And I've been to that event. So I know what you're talking about. I'm like, I don't like these people. Like, they're just not the right. They're not my people.
They're not my people. I mean, it's just, yeah. it's just like, and I would say, because there's so many people who have trouble with this. And I'm like, it's just compatibility. It doesn't yeah. make them wrong. It doesn't make you bad. You're just incompatible, because you can be an incredible coach or a great speaker. And if you speak to the wrong group, or if you're coaching the wrong kind of person, they just don't need what you have to offer. So yeah. it's kind of dangerous, because it makes then you start to go negative, and really it's just the wrong audience. So I kind of love that. Like, I love when people tell me, it's one of the questions I ask when I help people discern their values. I'm like, tell me what you hate. Like, tell me what makes you angry. And for those clients, you can kind of get sassy with it. Like, listen, this is confidential. You can just tell me. And then go to town. And, you know, my daughter was one that I did this with, and we were trying to figure out her college major, what she should do. And she just went off on like social injustice and like every different kind of gender injustice and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And finally I said, do you know why? I said, it's because you love justice. There's a positive in that. If you will pay attention to what you can't stand, it's speaking good and positive things. But too quickly, we're like, I don't want to be that girl. I don't want to be that guy. But it's speaking. It's really good stuff.
Yeah. Well, like, whenever I work with like a new client, I always like to ask them, like, okay, so what in your industry do you like to follow? You know, who do you like? But then also, who do you not like? You know, are there certain personas or certain publications where you're like, I think this is just a bunch of garbage, or they are just not my people? Like, everyone in digital marketing seems to love Gary Vaynerchuk. And his personality is just not my cup of tea. And so, like, if someone was interviewing me, I would say, I'm not a big Gary V fan. Like, that is just not my lane. But then I know other people that's their personality. And if they told me that, then I'd know, okay, so you're going to like certain types of graphics maybe, or, you know, maybe have a little bit more edge to your subject lines and emails. Whereas like, if somebody's like, oh yeah, like I really like, you know, this other brand that's very buttoned up, like that tells me something about how they like to be perceived in the world, or how they're going to want to be. So it's so important to know what you like and what you don't like. So I love that you said that. And I wish I would have like thought about some of that in my own college you know, decisions back in the day. Maybe I would have gone a different route. I don't know.
I have plenty of those regrets. That's right.
Yeah. It's all part of our stories, right?
It is. It's what makes them juicy and interesting.
Right. So if you had like one piece of advice, to give to someone, whether they're now or they're just starting off, of like, if you're wanting to go get your next win in how you're presenting yourself, you know, in person or online, how you're marketing yourself, what advice would you give, having gone through your whole journey from start to where you are now? What advice would you give?
I would say go, no matter who you are, I think it's always good to go back to basics. You know, there's stuff in our amygdala, which is our passion. You know, those are the values and the purpose, but we don't have language for it. So I would say get as much language for what you're all about in a good sense. Ditch the weaknesses, all the stuff you love, what matters most to you. Ask other people around you what that might be, a variety. I mean, we're always a little worried about what people will say, but if you ask it in a positive way, you're going to get a lot of positive response. So I think, you know, go back to the basics about who you are, what makes you, it's not just unique, like, what do you love? I mean, that feels less pressured. What do you love? What is the most meaningful to you? Like, what do you hate? Think about the opposite. And,
right, exactly.
And then I'd say, yeah. And then like, be brave. You know, like I said, it's one of my highest values, but adopt it for at least a time. Because I think it's the most vulnerable part of you that you're putting out there. But that's the part that's the stickiest, that people want to connect with. And so there is just this place where you are just going to go for it and be brave and put that out there. And let's see who sticks, because your group is there. It's just there. You're just, you know, all of us at any level, we're finding more and more of those. When I move industries, or then I'm finding my next group. So try to add bravery and courage to your value set for a time. And that way, no matter how it, you know, unfolds, if it feels like it screws up, you're like, well, I was brave. I was brave.
Yeah.
Which means you learned something. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I remember like back when I first started my own business, the first few like posts, first few emails that I would send, everything was an act of courage. I remember being just scared to hit that publish button. And then you do it one or two times, and then that gets a little bit easier. You send a few emails, it gets a little easier each time. Now, granted, like I still get a little nervous for doing new things, but I've built up that courage over time. So I love that you wove that in.
Yeah.
Because I think bravery and courage are such a huge piece of marketing at large. So it's those tiny acts of courage every day, all day long. So,
yeah. And this is like to separate, it's us in a lot of cases, that's the brand, which I think is the most challenging. Because so it feels very personal. But to be able to say it's really your message, what you do for people, what you offer, these values that other people also resonate with, that they want more of in their life, that's the piece that people may reject or not align with. But, you know, kind of separating that out mindset wise, but we still have great value. We're just looking for the kind of like our sweet spot.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh. Okay. Well, if people want to get more from you, and I know you have a few quizzes out there, like you've got a lot of great resources. So like tell us a little bit about like some of the free stuff, where they can get a taste of you, and where is best for people to find you if they want to get more from you.
Yeah. Well, we'll start with the website. So it's the website, the brand that I paid so much money for. That's yourauthenticpersonality.com. It's very long. You can also get there by Dale Wilshire, and that's with an ER, not an IRE. And then, yes, we have on the personality tab, we have we have three different quizzes right now. I think currently we also have like a self-care quiz out there. I mean, I love a good quiz to be able to figure out, you know, if you need a little help. So a lot of things on there, videos about personality, to really understand your authentic personality. So lots of fun resources on the website. We are on, I'm not on TikTok. I am on LinkedIn. Barely on YouTube, on Instagram and Facebook, but I really like LinkedIn as my favorite. But I'll be very honest, the reason I've hired Valerie and I'm so grateful for her help is because I cannot stand social media. It is not something I enjoy. So, you know, I would rather do email marketing, and that feels a little bit, you know, they still help me with that, but that's more of my thing. So I delegate out when I get sassy and I think I can't stand this. And it's to the point where I'm going to need to bring in someone who does it really well. So, you know, there's things out there. And if you're on the email list, if you want to join by taking one of the quizzes, or there's, you know, certainly the, you know, just the sign up at the bottom of the website, we've got some blogs and things, but if you want to get on there, I do give out a lot of free content on those emails that come out once a week. There's a meaningful Monday, something really short and easy just to assist you in your life and your work to make things better. Right now we're talking about triggers. So, you know, just different topics each month. So I'd love to have you be a part of the growing community that is all, you know, committed to your authentic personality.
Yeah. And I'll just, before we sign off here, I will just testify that I have taken a lot of your quizzes myself, just partly because I got to know what they're about for marketing purposes. But whenever I get your emails and I see those quizzes, I'm like, oh my gosh, I totally need this. Like it is speaking so much to just like the female perspective. I'm, you know, earlier on in my journey as a mom, but you know, I resonate with so many of those themes. So if you are thinking, hey, I'm looking for somebody who just kind of gets what it's like being a woman in leadership right now, like I encourage you to go check out Dale's quizzes and just her blog content, get on our email list. It's an inspiring just dose of just happiness and just inspiration every Monday when she sends it out. So Yeah, join on. And yeah, I encourage you to go check out more from Dale. Dale, thank you so much for just sharing the nuggets of wisdom you've shared today, and just share your story too about, you know, how you've gotten into where you're at now, but also just the fact that like you hit some roadblocks and had to make some pivots. And you know, that can be scary for a lot of people, but hearing somebody else who's gone through it can be so inspiring. So thank you for sharing your story.
If you're new to the show, go ahead and hit subscribe on whatever podcast player you are listening to right now. That way you will not miss a single episode of Marketing Wins.